Hello, and welcome to the Computing Conversations column. This column is from the April 2016 issue of IEEE Computer and is titled, Bruce Schneier, Building Cryptographic Systems. There is supporting video material for this column that you can find on the IEEE Computer Society YouTube channel or in the IEEE Digital Library. I'm the editor of the column, and I'm Charles Severance from the University of Michigan. Since the 1930s at Bletchley Park, there has been a continuous arms race to both improve and break cryptography. The files leaked by National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden made it clear that governments regularly gather data on average citizens, which makes us wonder if privacy is even possible. Do our carefully designed cryptographic systems protect our information as we expect them to, or are they just thin veils that can be easily pierced by the government? I pose these questions to leading security expert Bruce Schneier. When asked whether a cryptographic standard like AES offers protection against well-funded and highly skilled prying eyes, he replied,
"One of the things we've learned from the Snowden documents is that cryptography, broadly applied, gives the NSA trouble, at least at scale. So the NSA does a lot of cryptanalysis, and they break a lot of systems, but well-designed, well-implemented cryptography does stymie them.
All cryptography can eventually be broken. The only question is how much effort is required.
Now, what cryptography does is it forces the attacker, whether the NSA or the Chinese government or cyber criminals or whoever, to have a priorities list. And depending on their budget, they'll go down the priorities list, and the hope is you're not there, right? You are below their budget line. Without cryptography, An organization like the NSA can bulk collect data on everybody. With cryptography, they are forced to target. And that's extraordinarily valuable, because it means the FBI will go after the criminals. The NSA will go after the agents of a foreign power. The Chinese government will go after the U.S. government officials that rise to whatever level they want to spy on. The cyber criminals will just go after a few of us, and the rest of us are protected.
In truth, having good cryptography algorithms doesn't automatically ensure security, because the algorithms must be realized in real-world systems.
When we say we trust the cryptography, what we're saying is we trust the mathematics. And I think there's a lot of reason to say that. I trust the mathematics. Everything I know about cryptography tells me the mathematics is good. Certainly, there will be cryptographic advances. Certainly, some things will be broken in the future. But by and large, the math works. But math has no agency. Math can't do anything. It's equations on a piece of paper. In order for math to do something, someone has to take that math and write code and embed that code in a program. And embed that program in some bigger system, and put that bigger system on a computer with an operating system, on a network, with a user. And all of those things add in security.
Those who would defeat cryptography rarely attack the mathematics directly. Instead, they act the systems, networks, and humans that implement and use security.
Now, there's an important corollary here, that complexity is the worst enemy of security. Right. What these things do is they add complexity. The more complex you make your system, the less secure it's going to be, because the more vulnerabilities you'll have, the more mistakes you'll make somewhere in that system. And we learn again and again when we see analyses of voting systems, embedded systems, your cell phone, messaging systems, email systems, that it's always something around the crypto, something that the designers, the implementers, the coders, the users got wrong. And the simpler we can make systems, the more secure they are.
One way to weaken a security standard is to introduce complexity.
And this is why the normal IETF process for internet standards doesn't really work for security, because those standards are compromises. Right? Let's put in all the options to make everyone happy. Let's put in as much flexibility as necessary to make the system as comprehensive as possible. That is sort of anti-secure security. Security needs as few options as possible, right? As simple as possible. You don't want compromise. You want one group to win.
Right.
because that group has a self-contained vision. When you have a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of that, there's going to be some interaction you didn't notice. And that interaction will be the interaction that breaks your system.
To make sure the underlying mathematics of cryptography are solid, the National Institute for Standards and Technology runs a public multi-year evaluation process where people are invited to submit an algorithm for consideration as the standard. The most recent encryption standard was selected in 2001.
So what NIST is doing is they're trying to build standards around as much as possible. Right? So they have a standard for a crypto algorithm. AES is the standard crypto algorithm. It was a public process where multiple groups submitted algorithms and the community as a whole picked a winner. I mean, it wasn't dictated on high, there weren't secret criteria. The AES algorithm was the one that most of us thought should be AES. Actually, there were several we thought were good candidates. They picked one, but there's a lot of trust in the process because it was a very public, open, international process. Right? SHA-3, the new secure hash standard, the same sort of process.
Schneier designed and submitted an algorithm called Twofish as one of the entries in the AES competition. Twofish was one of the finalists, but NIST selected an algorithm called Rinjal as the AES standard.
So AES was an interesting process. It started out with 64 algorithms, of which 56 met the submission criteria. Then NIST whittled it down to, I think it was 15 or 16, and then an extra round whittled it down to 5, and then chose one. So it's a constant winnowing process. And Twofish, which was my submission, made it all the way into the top 5. And those top 5 were all good algorithms. I mean, there was no bad algorithms there. And the arguments were more about security margin and implementability in hardware versus embedded systems versus constrained systems, 8-bit, 32-bit. So we were making distinctions about how we thought it would be used. And to me, it came down to, I think, 3 algorithms that I thought these were all good choices. Right. Twofish was one, Rinjal, the eventual winner, was one, and actually at this point I forget what the third is.
For Bruce, winning the competition was less important than making the selected algorithm something we could all trust.
And sure, it would have been great to have been the winner. But they really know something. There's a lot of value in NIST picking a non-US algorithm. Right. By picking an algorithm from Belgium, it said to the world that NIST is picking what they thought was the best and not trying to pick American. So that was an important consideration I hadn't thought of at the time. So I can't fault in this process at all. It's been great to win. It actually was really fun to participate. And, you know, I would do it again. And I participated in the SHA-3 competition, which again was picked by someone else won. My entry was called Skane.
Given that these competitions take several years and it could be more than a decade between competitions, they make a big impact in the security research community.
And, you know, these are lots of fun for cryptographers and also for students because they give students a whole bunch of targets. One of the hard things if you're a crypto student is you have to break stuff. The only way you learn how to make things is by breaking things. It's back to that security mindset. Right? Anybody can create a security system that he can't break. So if you show up with a security system and say, I can't break this, my first question is, well, who are you? Why should I trust your attestation that you can't break it as something that's meaningful? Mm-hmm. What else have you broken? And these competitions give a whole bunch of targets so students can start breaking things that haven't been broken before, get papers out of it, get publications, get cred in the field.
It's a unique aspect of security research that the coin of the realm is poking holes in results produced by your colleagues in the field.
You go to a security conference, a crypto conference, and there are going to be papers of people who break each other's stuff. And you have to get a thick skin. You have to understand that we are all learning. You know, if I produce a protocol and you break it, sure, I'm unhappy, but I've learned something. And so have you, and so has everyone else. And that knowledge is more important than my particular creation surviving. And you have to understand that and accept that, and that has to excite you.
Once we accept the fact that there is no unbreakable cryptography and certainly no unbreakable computing systems, The goal is to get to the point where we have the best possible algorithms and a high level of trust in them. The security field has been well served by the cryptographic algorithms produced through the NIST standardization process. By using an open process and encouraging competition and critique from all participants, we have the best chance of developing solid and trusted cryptographic algorithms. This column is from the April 2016 issue of IEEE Computer and is titled, Bruce Schneier, Building Cryptographic Systems. There is supporting video material for this column that you can find on the IEEE Computer Society YouTube channel or in the IEEE Digital Library. I'm the editor of the column, and I'm Charles Severance from the University of Michigan.